time to wake to sleep with Sleep Science Today, where we learn to sleep well with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Sleep Science Today. My name is Andrew Kolsky. I am your host. Today we're going to be talking about hypnosis with Tim Shore, who is a celebrity hypnotist and author as well, and he'll tell us about his book during the recording here. But Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Andrew. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. You know, we spend a lot of time on the show talking about all sorts of different sleep science issues. We talk about studies. We talk about different treatments, different type of sleep issues that people may have. But we've never had the opportunity yet to talk about hypnosis. So can you give us a little bit of a primer here, or a taste of how does hypnosis impact sleep?
Yes. So imagine that you have a race car. And you're putting all your money into the car, into the engine, right, into how it steers, what it feels like when you're sitting in there, the safety issues. You put everything into that car, but you don't take care of the driver. And then that driver is going to take that million-dollar car and put it into the wall, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that's what we experience. We focus so much on the body, we focus on the symptoms, we focus on what's going on, and then usually when it comes to people having insomnia, we tend to be given prescription medication, or we try melatonin, or we're trying sound sleep programs, but that's focused on the vehicle, that's focused on the body, and so we've got to focus on the person that lives inside the body. The number one thing that most people will tell you is, I can't turn my mind off. Right? My thoughts are just going. And as soon as I lay down, it seems like I just keep thinking about all the things that are going on in my life, and I can't turn my brain off. That is the driver. And so hypnosis focuses on helping the driver to take back control.
Wow. Wow. You definitely hit on a topic there that is a big, big issue, because I can't tell you how many people that I talk with who tell me that, you know, as soon as I lay down, my brain is spinning and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get it to calm down. And, you know, we do a lot of work with that. But that is indeed is such a common thing. I'm just curious. So, you know, as we talk about hypnosis and its relation to sleep, how did you first get into hypnosis? And then how did you carry that over into sleep issues? Is this something you deal with?
No, I've had, as a business owner, I've had plenty of sleepless nights where I couldn't turn my mind off. And so, but I had no interest in hypnosis. I was getting my degrees in clinical psychotherapy. I wanted to help people, right? I wanted to free people from anxiety and past trauma. Back then it was just anxiety because that's what I felt like I had. And, you know, a psychologist told me I had generalized anxiety, and I wanted to know how to have generalized confidence. And so a couple of years into my bachelor's degree program, they had guest speakers coming in teaching all these different types of therapy. And so one was hypnotherapy. They asked for a volunteer. I went up there because I was going to cluck like a chicken and just entertain my friends. But that's not what happened. Within 5 minutes, that knot in my stomach had disappeared. And I felt this sense of peace that I had never felt before. And I'm like, what is this? And so I found a hypnosis school, and I kind of did the traditional academic path. And at the same time, I was doing this alternative therapy path, learning hypnosis and neurolinguistic programming and all these other, you know, alternative approaches. Mm-hmm. And they were amazing. They were getting results so fast, right? Like, I had bitten my nails forever. And during my hypnosis certification, the teacher, she hypnotized me and told me I wasn't going to bite my nails anymore. And I didn't. And I haven't ever since. Right? Which has been like 36 years. And so it was pretty incredible. And so I devoted my whole life to understanding how the unconscious mind works. People will call it your subconscious mind, but it's really your conscious and your unconscious mind. And your unconscious mind controls 80% of what you do. So doesn't it make sense to work with the boss part of your brain? And right. So I've put 3 decades into understanding how your brain drives human behavior. Unconsciously, emotionally, because we tend to try to use logic and reasoning and willpower, but that's 20%. And the reason that it falls apart, like it's almost the end of January and into February now, those New Year resolutions starting to fall apart for people, right? Because they are using willpower and they're not training their emotional mind. And so hypnosis is a way of helping people do that. I'm still doing it because it produces the best results.
Wow. Wow. So there's a lot in there, and it's, you know, maybe you know the answer to this question. I don't know. You know, you talk about the sort of the unconscious mind, or you called it the boss, you know, and it's amazing that human beings have the ability to think about their thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. So when I'm speaking with patients, I don't know if there's a word for that ability where we can have this. I always say it's sort of like a higher level in your mind that can oversee the other parts of your mind. Is there a word for that?
Consciousness.
Okay.
It's what makes us conscious. You know, the fact that we're aware is what makes us conscious.
Wow.
That's my definition of it.
Amazing. So, yeah. So when you talk about hypnosis, what is hypnosis actually doing that has an impact on people?
So that's a great question. So there's two things that I learned. Now, there's different ways that people use hypnosis. The traditional way is that we try to get you into a lower alpha theta state, which is something that everybody does naturally when they daydream, when they start to fall asleep at night. Our brainwave cycles are always going up and down. So hypnotists try to get you into that state fast because we think it makes you more open to suggestion, makes you more suggestible. Right. So when you see people doing stage hypnosis shows, we're trying to get people that go into that state really fast. And then we're picking them out of the crowd and then we're getting them to do all the silly stuff. Right. Which they would have done without the hypnosis. But I was originally trained that you use the hypnosis. You try to get people really relaxed, what you call in a trance. And then you just fill them with positive affirmations, hypnotic suggestions. And then they go do it. And that was very helpful. Like people would stop smoking. People would break bad habits. People would feel more confident. And, you know, and that was amazing. But I found that a lot of times it wouldn't last. It would wear off. It would fade away. People would call me up and they say, I think the hypnosis wore off. I'm back to craving sugar again. Mm-hmm. And so over years, I facilitated over 16,000 individual one-on-one sessions over my career. And what I found through all that experience is that there's something else going on there. It's your beliefs. We have these unconscious beliefs that are like mental weeds that we picked up when we're kids. Our brain, we go through experiences. Some are empowering, some are traumatic, but our brain is always assessing what it thinks those experiences mean about us, about others, about the world around us. And often our brain is making up these beliefs without our permission, without our awareness that it's even happening, and you know, without our permission. And so we get, we get hurt when we're growing up. We get rejected. Our parents get divorced, and our brain thinks it's because it's our fault. You're no good. You're not worthy of love, mm-hmm. right? And you're not enough. And the biggest fear we have is I'm not enough, right? And that's where all the worry comes from. And right. So, which we'll talk about later on here in our interview. Mm-hmm. So what we got to do is we got to recognize that these mental weeds are in there, and we got to pull them out at the root. And we got to replace them with flowers, with self-love, with worth, with faith, right? And when you do that, it changes the game. It immediately helps you to feel like something that was impossible is now possible, right? Because you're working with the boss part of your brain. Instead of two parts of you fighting each other, you got all of you wanting the same thing, heading in the same direction.
Right.
And that's why it's so powerful. So that's the trick. It's not just about, you know, in therapy, we talk a lot about what's going on, but that's like cutting the top off of weeds. So then we use medication and positive affirmations and vision boards, but that's like throwing dirt on top of the weeds. We got to get the weeds out at the root. And my unique method of hypnosis, the One Belief Away method, that it uses it to help you to get right to the source right away so you have a huge, significant breakthrough in your very first session.
Wow. So if someone is working with you, you know, throughout that process, Is that something you say, you know, right from the very first session? Is that something that it's like one and done, or is it work that they have to do to kind of create this new thinking?
So sometimes it's one and continue, right? So you upgrade the beliefs and you go from I'm not loved to I'm more than loved. That is done. That's a shifted belief. Then what we do is we teach people to reinforce that, to upgrade the strategies that they're using. Most strategies that people are using to interpret the world around them are not very good, but nobody's ever taught them any better because most people are doing the same thing. Right. And so we teach them how to upgrade their strategies. And then sometimes people say, how long do I have to do this? And I'm like, well, when you're driving down the highway at 70 miles an hour, how long should you hang on to the steering wheel? Right? The whole time, if you want to safely arrive at your destination. And that's how our mind works. We have to constantly be monitoring our mind, you know, and focusing on where we're headed. The flesh and the spirit are always in a tug of war. So we've got to make sure that we're aware of this and that we're using these tools. And that's what we call emotional intelligence, right? That's what we call growth mindset, personal development, spiritual development, right? And so even though I have helped people just in one session to do amazing things, people have had 30-year panic attacks, gone in one session, never had them again. People that smoked for 40 years, two packs a day of cigarettes, one session, never smoked again. People that have had fear of flying, biting their nails, PTSD, a lot of veterans I've worked with, a lot of survivors of abuse. And in a session, people have this whole new way of being. But I don't do just one session because I know that human beings need more help. We have more blind spots. We need to upgrade our tools. And so, but the most I usually work with somebody is a few months, you know, where the majority of people go into therapy and they think they got to be in therapy the rest of their life. And when I was going to school to be a psychoanalyst, I wanted to be like a Freudian, you know, person. And they had a joke that you're going to start with 30 clients and then 30 years from now, you're going to retire with those same 30 clients. And now that seems unethical. It's like, right. If you can't produce results in 30 years, you know, if you can't produce them in 30 days, you need to upgrade your beliefs to 21st century tools.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely on board with you there because, I guess the types of work that I do from a therapeutic approach, I do them because I can see results relatively quickly. And the people who come in with this problem initially that seems insurmountable, there's no, oh my God, this has bothered me for years. And then it's amazing to watch the transformation. So I'm right there with you. So, you know, all right, so I'm understanding, you know, the concept here, and I think I'm understanding kind of how you're going about it. But now what I'm trying to understand is, so let's tie that to sleep. So we started off, we were talking about somebody gets into bed, and maybe they've got all these racing thoughts, and, you know, my favorite one is the one when people say, well, I got into bed and I tried to sleep. And I said, well, what does try to sleep mean? And basically, try to sleep means I lay there hoping that I'm going to sleep, making myself anxious about the fact that I can't sleep, and then hoping that I'll stop being anxious, and they just spin themselves up into this whole anxiety loop. In terms of how, you know, how hypnosis works with this, that's what I want to learn next. But before we do that, I want to take a really quick commercial, and we'll come back and answer that question.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
All All right. We are back on Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. We're talking with Tim Schur, a celebrity hypnotist, and he is just about to answer my question about hypnosis and insomnia, basically, the tie-in. And what? How does that work?
Yeah, well, right before our break, you were bringing up excellent points, Andrew, about how people will try to get to sleep and how the more they try, the worse it gets. And so let's break this down, right? So first of all, I don't treat the symptoms. The symptoms are them, at least not in the beginning. The symptoms, the symptoms are, sitting there in bed, they're breathing through their mouth, they're asking themselves lousy questions like, what if I can't sleep? What if I'm exhausted tomorrow? What if this never ends? What am I going to do? And so they're asking really lousy questions, and then they're imagining worst case scenarios. That is tripping their fight or flight response. They're flooding their body with adrenaline and cortisol. That adrenaline and cortisol is causing their body to wake up because their body is going to have to run away from this or fight, right? The fight or flight response. And now they wonder why they can't sleep. And now what they do is they start to get into a habit of this. So eventually they're thinking about it all day long and creating a negative self-fulfilling prophecy. It's 10 in the morning and they're like, what if I can't sleep tonight either?
Yep.
Spot
on.
And so this has become a habit now. It's starting to become a habit, right? And they are stuck in it. So most people will try to help them calm their thoughts down. And I found that that will be a struggle because the more you try, the more they're going to resist and they're not doing it on purpose, but there's a conflict inside. So here's what I learned from hypnotizing people with insomnia is that they have this deep fear that they're not safe.
Okay.
They have this fear that if they completely let go, something bad's going to happen. Now, sometimes they're aware of this, sometimes they're not. And often women who are in their 50s and their kids are older and grown up now will also have a hard time sleeping. A little bit of it is hormonal, but some of it is because they train themselves to sleep with one ear open because they're always listening for their kids. Right. And so so now their kids are grown up, but they still have done that for 20 years. And so they have this habit in place. So again, if they completely relax and let go, or they take care of themselves, which most women are not good at putting themselves first and making themselves a priority because they're always taking care of everybody else, then they have a really hard time doing it. And so their brain literally feels like something bad could happen. I could die. Right? That's how extreme it will seem. And then you think you could sleep if you think you were going to die? Probably not. Right? Yeah. So with hypnosis, what we do is we go find the beliefs that are driving the negative thoughts. We go find the beliefs that are driving the fears. And when you do that, people often almost always go back to something before the age of 18. Most people go back to something before the age of 12. You know, and so I'll say, step into that. Think about the feeling that you have when you can't sleep at night. Now we're going to step into that feeling, follow it all the way back to the first time you ever felt that way. And then just kind of notice what happens. Now there's a lot more to it than that because you got to make sure to keep people safe because you never know what people are going to go back to. Right. Mm-hmm. And I happen to specialize in helping people that have been through traumatic experiences. And so, there's a very specific way that you take them back so that you don't accidentally re-traumatize them. Which is often what happens in therapy when they make you relive every bad thing you ever went through over and over with this implosion technique that if you go through it enough, eventually you won't be freaked out anymore. But that is a archaic way of doing it. There are so many more effective tools and approaches. So you go back to, and then you reframe the situation, but not just that, you find the belief that was formed when they were feeling unsafe, when they weren't feeling like they were going to be able to handle themselves. And you upgrade that belief, and that comes up through the years, and all of a sudden, they feel more peaceful. Now, you combine that with the calming, relax of hypnosis, which is really like getting a mind massage. It helps people get more rest right there in the moment. You know, when you're really strung out, it's hard to sleep sometimes. So the hypnosis is a step forward in starting to recharge your batteries enough so that your batteries will take another charge so that you could actually sleep a little bit more. What happens with my clients is they go from maybe an hour a night or 2 hours a night or 15 minutes here, 40 minutes there, you know, then all of a sudden they slept a solid 5 or 6 hours. Mm-hmm. And then we do another session, and they've slept from 6 hours to 7 hours. Some of them are sleeping 8 hours, and it's a miracle for them because they're not being tortured by their sleep deprivation anymore.
Right.
And then all the other good qualities about them come back because, you know, when you are getting rest, then you can have your confidence back, then you have more willpower, then you can support yourself and encourage yourself in more loving ways. Mm-hmm. And you feel like you're more in control. And then that's going to help you show up. And then, of course, we train them how to go through the day expecting that they're going to get restful, rejuvenating sleep. You know, they've got their new tools and their new strategies, the stuff they can do on their own, the programs they can listen to, and the beliefs are upgraded. And that's how you get rid of insomnia.
So when you're working with someone and you're doing a hypnosis session, is this typically like a 1 hour time block?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so when we talk about insomnia, you know, we talk about the fact that there's basically three types. You've got the problems falling asleep, the mm-hmm. problems waking in the middle of the night, and mm-hmm. the problems waking too early. Mm-hmm. Does your approach work equally well for all or better for one than the other?
Yeah, it works equally well. Yeah. It doesn't, it's the same as if someone comes in to stop smoking and they're smoking 5 cigarettes a day, a pack a day, or 4 packs a day. They're all done within the 2 or 3 sessions.
Wow. That sounds pretty amazing.
It is amazing. That's why I've stayed with it for all these years. I only cared about what worked, right? Mm-hmm. And even with the hypnosis, I'm like, it's got to be different than what it is, right? And so I kept taking all the best tools. All the best tools from cognitive behavioral therapy, Gestalt therapy, right? All the different types of hypnotherapy and every other peak performance tools out. There's so many of them that are amazing. And then tested this until I found a path that helps the most amount of people with the most amount of issues that we have. And there's only so many of them. And then in the shortest amount of time, and it has to last. It has to be sustainable through time.
Right.
And that's what I found, and that's what I'm doing, and it's incredible every day. A lot of practitioners are burned out, you know, because they're seeing all these clients. I'm like, why are you having such a hard time? And they're like, well, you know, it's stressful, and we're trying to do this and that. I'm like, I love my clients. My clients are getting breakthroughs. They're giving me testimonials all day. I know I'm going to help them. Doesn't matter what they come to me for. You know, nothing's 100%. There's going to be some things that don't work so great. You know, I've tried really, really hard for a couple different things that people have, and I wasn't able to have a breakthrough with them, but it doesn't mean someone else won't be able to, right? So, but 95% of the time, we're going to have a significant breakthrough, and often in the first session. So I get excited when I'm going to spend my day with clients. And so I spend most of my time teaching psychologists and therapists and life coaches, you know, how to get rid of their own blind spots and empower their clients in more amazing ways.
Wow, fantastic. So I'm going to ask, do you mind giving us sort of a peek behind the curtain? And here's mm-hmm. what I mean by that.
Okay.
Obviously, at some point, you had to do the first insomnia client.
Yes.
At some point, we all start at the beginning.
That's right.
So based on the early days when you were first realizing that insomnia, hypnosis, hey, there might be a match here.
Yes.
Can you give us the benefit of some stories and some clients and things that were sort of aha moments for you and your clients?
Yes. So that is an outstanding question. So when I first started out, I was not getting all these amazing results. I would have amazing breakthroughs occasionally, because the technique itself, like I helped my dad stop smoking just reading a script out of a book that I got while I was going through my hypnosis training. And he quit smoking and we were both shocked. Right? We're like, what? It actually worked? Because there was no placebo effect. Neither one of us expected it to work. But it did anyway, right? So I can't remember exactly my first insomnia client, but I will tell you that when I first started working with people, my goal was to try to get them relaxed. I had one woman that tried to prove to me that it was impossible for her to relax. And I'm like trying to give her positive and thinking and encouragement and lots of motivation. And that did the opposite, because she just rebelled even more. In fact, she started doing leg lifts on the couch that I had, showing me that when she tries to relax, she ends up, she's going to do the opposite. Now, if that wouldn't even have happened, because I would have blocked that sabotage from the very beginning, because I didn't realize I was challenging her, right? Sometimes when you challenge people, they'll do the exact opposite. And so, you know, or they have rebellion, they're rebellious, right? Right. And that's because they developed this idea that I'm not safe. And so I have to always have my own back. And I didn't know that if you went right to the beliefs and you found that, you could save yourself so much aggravation. And so would your clients, right? Because you wouldn't go through all that stuff. But I didn't know that back then. So I would try to use relaxation. I would have them listen to audio programs. I would give them suggestions like, when you go to sleep tonight, you're going to sleep beautifully and soundly through the night. You're going to find yourself thinking to yourself, I am safe, I am loved, and no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. I'm just going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to feel rested and refreshed. And even if I don't get as much sleep as I want to, that I'm still going to feel more rested and refreshed. And that's just going to help me sleep better tomorrow. Right? So I'm giving these positive affirmations. And the first awareness that I had from talking to my clients and getting them to tell me what was really going on and for them to be honest was when clients started telling me, you know, you're really nice and I really appreciate what you're doing, but every time you tell me something, I'm in my head saying you're full of crap. I'm in my head saying the opposite of what you're saying. Even if I want to believe you, even if I want to agree with you, because that's what I'm paying you for. My head's going, nope, that's wrong. That's false. That's not true. That's not going to happen, right? She said, my brain's fighting me. Yeah. And that was an awareness. I'm like, well, how are we going to get around that? And I didn't have an answer for that for a long time.
Right.
You know? And so I had to figure that out until I developed a set of tools that helped me understand, well, there's beliefs in there that are causing them people to show up this way out of survival instincts. There's unconscious values conflicts. So one part of us wants one thing, the other part of us wants something else. Like, I want to eat donuts, but I want to lose weight. You know, that's a conflict. And right. If you don't resolve that and find the positive intention of each one and then get your mind going in a new direction with a new result, then you're going to continue to have the conflict, which is why people struggle to lose weight constantly, right? Because there's values conflicts in there that can be resolved pretty fast. And most of it isn't about what you're eating anyway. It's about what's eating you, right, in your head. And so, and then it drives us to want to comfort ourselves or distract ourselves or reward ourselves or reconnect with ourselves. Mm-hmm. So those were some of the breakthroughs when I found that people were really rebelling back, but often I never knew it because they were so sweet and so nice.
Right.
You know, would even give me testimonials because they were such people pleasers, right? They didn't want to hurt anybody. They have big hearts, right? They didn't want to hurt my feelings, even though they were paying me and I wasn't helping them. And they didn't want to hurt my feelings.
Wow.
And then when they started telling me that, I'm like, what? No. And so that was a big aha moment for me.
Right.
And then I started learning. I've always wanted to learn more. I've been obsessed with wanting to learn more. So I hire more coaches. I hire more trainers. You know, I always think I used to say I want to be the dumbest guy in the room, right? Because I want to be surrounded by people that are smart. And so now I still have that growth mindset. I'm still a student. People are like, oh, you're amazing. You're a guru. I'm like, no. No, I'm humble and open to learn new ideas. And you challenge me anytime you want because I still want to learn and grow. Mm-hmm. And so I started learning that, well, you know, you got to use hypnotic regression and it will help you go back to maybe what we call the initial sensitizing event, maybe the situation that started all of this. And if you could go and you could knock over that one domino, maybe it would knock over all the other dominoes automatically for you. You don't have to go and upgrade every bad thing that ever happened to them. If you can find the source and upgrade that and give them a new belief, I didn't know the part about the belief yet, but that would start to help people have more significant breakthroughs. I started doing that and it worked. And so it was kind of like over time, I just kept realizing, you know, eventually to where I am right now, oh my gosh, if you just start with the beliefs and you go there first, you're going to save months of this going back and forth and arguing with yourself, you know, that cognitive dissonance. You're going to avoid all of that.
Right.
You know, so we upgrade beliefs and values, and then we grow their faith. That's what I do.
Fantastic. Well, this is a perfect spot for our next commercial break, because that leads to the question that I had for you. I'll give you the question before the break, which is, you're talking about our beliefs and all, and I know you've talked several times about the need for safety, and I wanted to get some clarification on safety beliefs. When you say safety, are you talking about I'm afraid someone's going to break into my house tonight, or are you talking something else? But don't answer yet. Tell us after the break. We'll be right back on Sleep Science Today.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we're back on Sleep Science Today with Tim Schur, celebrity hypnotist. We've been talking about hypnosis and sleep, and just before the break, we were talking about the concept of beliefs and safety. So, Tim, take it away.
Yeah, so when somebody has this deep fear that I'm not safe, usually it's not because of situations that are happening currently in the present moment. Those beliefs were formed when they were kids. And a lot of us grow up and we're in situations where we have no control, no power, right? So we go through all kinds of things. I call them big T and little T traumas. The little T traumas are we don't get picked to be on the team. You know, we get rejected by somebody. Our friends are mean to us. The teacher embarrasses us in the front of the classroom. You know, we've all had experiences like that. Then we have the big T traumas, which is the physical, the verbal, the sexual abuses, where life-changing events, a parent dies, a sibling dies, a divorce happens, a move happens. And when we go through these traumatic experiences, our brain forms those beliefs. And one of the most common ones is I'm not safe, right? And when we feel like we're not safe, then we take that with us and it becomes a filter that we view life through. And we all have these filters, these lenses that we view life through. You're not looking at reality. You're looking at your subjective interpretation of reality. And then you're telling yourself a story about what's happening. So if someone sends you a text, you tell yourself a story about what that text means, right? And because our world tends to be so negative and skeptical and mistrusting, then we often feel that way. Right? The news shows us everybody fighting, all the wars, all the bad things happening. Social media puts it in front of us 24 hours a day. Now our kids are growing up with social media and they're all messed up. I'm getting calls where moms are saying, my 10-year-old is suicidal. Mm. What? Right?
Wow.
What? That doesn't even make sense. We have this epidemic of isolation and loneliness. And so that all just makes us more unsafe. And right. So when people go to lay down and they start to lower their guards, their brain says, nope, not going to do that. Now, what's frustrating is that this is happening at an unconscious level. So you're not aware of it. You know, unconscious incompetence. We don't know what we don't know.
Right.
And so, you know, as they say, you can't see the label when you're in the bottle. Right. And so if you're not aware of it, how are you supposed to fix it or upgrade it? Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, I'm broken. You're not broken. You just have some beliefs that are not effective and we need to upgrade those beliefs. You are amazing. Right. So that's what we do when I talk about people feeling unsafe. It's usually got started a long time ago and we need some new tools to help people feel safe now. The other element of it is, I'm not capable enough of taking care of myself, mm-hmm. right? We don't feel like we're self-reliant anymore. So we get it dependent on someone needs to save me. Like we go to the doctors and we're just at the mercy of whatever the doctors say and everyone's a specialist. So you got to go 10 different places and nobody's talking to each other, fill out the same paperwork 20 times. Everybody has a different diagnosis. It's a mess, right? It's a mess in so many ways. And so When you don't feel self-reliant, I have an expression that it doesn't matter what shows up. What matters is how you show up. And when you're when you show up calm and confident, self-reliant, and you believe God's got your back, then you're going to be okay. And then your lens will change, and you'll start viewing the world through a more empowered way. And that's going to give you peace, which is going to give you sleep.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so let me try and put this into just a brief understanding. So client comes into your office. They tell you, Tim, I'm having such a hard time getting sleep. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've slept 3 hours in the last week. You know, I'm just laying there in bed, and my mind is racing, and all these thoughts are coming through, and everything I've tried, I just can't get any sleep.
Yeah.
And so you start working with them. You realize they've got all these negative beliefs, all this stuff going on that's keeping them, you know, up. And so now you've done some work with them. You started to make some progress. When they start to get back into bed after doing work with you, are they trying to consciously think different types of thoughts, or what difference would we see after the work?
You asked the best questions. So, so this is great. So first of all, how they're approaching it is different because the beliefs are different. So when you upgrade the beliefs, it's going to drive your perception of the situation is going to be different, right? More empowering, more hopeful, right? One of the things people in the beginning, I would say, why'd you sign up for me? Why'd you work with me? And they're like, you were so confident. You just knew it was going to work. And I love that. You know, and I think part of that is being a hypnotist. You know, you're going to speak into existence what you want to have happen, the power of belief and suggestion. So plus, I have a track record, so I know it's going to work. And the more they borrow my belief in the beginning, the more it helps upgrade their beliefs. And so so then the other tools that they're using, the other strategies that they're using are also different, right? Instead of speeding up and creating anxiety in their body, I'm showing them how to breathe through their nose, how to ask power questions, how to envision best case scenarios, right? And how to feel at peace in the moment with whatever happens. If I don't sleep tonight, I'm going to love myself twice as much, right? So we set it up so that I'm okay no matter what happens, because there are some things that happen that are out of our control. Sometimes it's a medication. Sometimes it's something physical that's going on that's causing this to happen. And so we have to retrain them with a different set of beliefs, expectations, maybe values, maybe strengthen their belief. You know, if I can't sleep as well tonight, I'm going to spend all night praying, right? And pray in a slightly different way instead of God, save me, save me, save me, right? In a very different way. And so that we're going to use that time, and it's going to be impactful because our time is precious and we don't know how much of it we have. And so when you just start upgrading perception like that and giving these people tools that they've never had before, ideas that they've never heard before, ways of looking at life that really only, the only people that really know that are the top achievers, the entrepreneurs, the ones who are going out there making things happen because they've had to have that mindset to be able to accomplish what they're able to accomplish, and they think differently than everybody else. So I take those skills and resources and I bring it to everybody else, and then it creates magic in their life too. Wow. So they're laying in bed and they're breathing differently. They have a different perspective. They're talking to themselves differently. They're using their imagination in a different, more empowering way. So we've just upgraded their, our phones get upgrades all the time, but most people are running the same MS-DOS program they were born with. And so most people just need an upgrade. I'm like the geek squad for your brain.
I love it. I love it. Wow. Okay. So, well then let's do this because we only have about 2 or 3 minutes left here. Are there any particular tips that you can offer to people before they have a chance to experience hypnosis or anything else? Any basic tips and things we can think about?
Yes, there's two ways to show up in life, playing not to lose and playing to win. Most people, including me, started out by playing not to lose. How does this bad thing not happen? How do I keep this from happening? And we're always focusing on what we don't want and how we can avoid that. But that's like telling your GPS, I don't want to go to the post office. That's exactly where it's going to take you, right? So when you're telling yourself, don't do this and don't do this and I can't do this, that's, you're telling your brain to do it. If I tell a kid, don't throw that toy, they're going to throw that toy, right? So you got to play to win. And so that means focus on what you want. What would you tell the GPS? Take me to the grocery store. That's where you want to go. So you start telling yourself, I'm going to sleep better tonight. I'm going to start loving myself more. I'm going to start taking care of myself. I'm going to imagine that I am sleeping tonight all day long every time I think about it. Even if I think I'm lying or I'm fooling myself, you know, fake it till you become it, right? And then I'm going to go learn more based on this amazing interview. I'm going to go learn more about how to upgrade my beliefs, or I'm going to get some of those free resources. I have so many free resources, and I'm going to start to learn more about my beliefs so that I can help find somebody that can retrain my brain.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. You reminded me of something that, you know, is a pet peeve for me, which is when I talk to people and they say, well, but I'm just a, and then they tell me whatever it is they do. And I immediately always stop and I say, there is no such thing as a just a. You are whatever it is that you are. And if you took yourself out of the equation, some part of the bigger picture of what's happening is going to break. You are just as essential as every other link in that chain. So you're not just, I'm just second link in the chain. Yeah, well, take that out and see what happens. So
that's very good. That's a great metaphor. Yeah, that's really good. Everybody's so important, but we just don't appreciate our own value and worth because of our limiting beliefs.
Right, exactly. So you mentioned some free resources and things. You have anything available for our audience?
Of course. Yeah, we've got some links that I can share with you. We've got a free introduction to hypnosis program that we can share. I have a brand new AI tool. If you like ChatGPT, I'll give you some prompts and you just fill it in and it will help you uncover your limiting beliefs and blind spots in 5 seconds. Right. Wonderful. And then it'll give you a plan with a new set of beliefs that you want to believe instead. You take it to one of our, you know, OBA hypnotists, and then they will retrain your brain with your new beliefs. So we can give you a free copy of that as well.
Great. Can you share those websites?
So if you go to I'm sorry, I got this cough. Mm-hmm. If you go to indiehypnosis.com, so it's INDY hypnosis, HYPNOSIS.com, mm-hmm. indiehypnosis.com. And then in the top menu, you're going to go to shop and it says free resources.
Okay.
All my free resources are there in my shopping page.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay. And we'll put that link in the description here as well, so people can find it there. Well, we are actually out of time. This really flew by. I can't tell you how much I appreciate all of the information that you've shared, and you know, it's a wonderful opportunity that there are more than one way to, you know, treat insomnia, and it sounds like you're having wonderful success and maybe even a little bit of fun along the way. I'm not so sure you're allowed to have fun if you're doing therapy, Tim.
Yes, you are. That's a limiting belief. Yeah, I was trained. You're not supposed to have fun. You're not supposed to get close to your clients. Definitely don't love your clients, right? And so, and I'm doing the exact opposite. I love my clients, right? And we are having a blast.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time. I encourage everybody to go and visit your website there, so indiehypnosis.com, and take a look at the free resources and, you know, use them and better sleep for everybody. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Science Today and learning how to sleep better with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio. For more information on how you can achieve better sleep, go to sleepsciencetoday.com. Remember, sleep science today and sleep better tonight.